Just a few days ago, Pat and I had a little conversation. I guess it would be Friday evening. And I don't know why. You know, sometimes you'll have conversations without any particular reason for them. And I just said to her, if you could live somewhere else in the world, where would you like to live? So, you know, Pat, of course, she said, Ireland. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, Ireland might not be exactly the way you think it would be, but anyway, Ireland. She said, Ireland. I said to her, I think right here, this is about as perfect as it gets as far as I'm concerned. But I said, the one place I really liked was the Galilee. If I could live someplace else in the world, I would like to live in the Galilee. But, I said, with all the chaos that's going on over there, I think not right now. And the next morning we woke up to the news of what was happening. This is different. This is not the same as anything that has happened in the last, 50 years. Nothing in our living memory like it's happening right now and beginning to occur right now. This thing is still not under control. It's a very, very dangerous circumstance. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this with you this morning because I'd like to focus with you this morning on Thanksgiving. And we do have a lot of things to be thankful for. We want to focus on that. But I cannot allow this morning just to begin without saying something. When we left home this morning, the report was more than 600 Israelis have died, been killed so far. And the number will rise above that. So we'll talk about this more, of course, as we proceed. This is not going to be over anytime soon. But this is definitely a critical moment. Things will not be the same after this moment. This is like we talk about 9/11 and being a moment that's sort of branded in our memories. Yesterday is a day that will be branded in our memories, but this will continue. So we'll talk about this more as time unfolds. I'm going to ask for your participation with me this morning as we think in terms of Thanksgiving. I want to basically, I'm not planning on putting this up on a podcast. Very little of this will be up on a podcast, if any at all. I have something else in mind for that. But I thought it would be appropriate for us to, because we do have, especially as we think about all these things that are happening in the world in various places. You talk about tribulation, you talk about great tribulation. Well, the people who are going through this kind of thing right now, that's about as great a tribulation on a narrow slice of the globe as you could possibly imagine. This is absolute barbarism beyond words. The thing that I must also mention is that we think in terms of, and I'm not trying to put all the Palestinians into the same mold, because you can't do that with different groups of people. You can't assume that every member of a certain people group is the same. So every member of the Arab community or the Palestinian community is not the same. It doesn't have the same heart and mind on these things. But we would be shocked at the numbers of Palestinian peoples who would be supportive of what's happening right now. You'd just be absolutely shocked. So when you hear on the news about all the innocent Palestinians, that's there's some of those. But those who have been raised and trained with a great hatred for the Jewish people, just absolutely instilled in them from the time they were small children, they don't think what they're doing to the Jewish people is a terrible thing. They actually think that what they're doing is a good thing. So when you have that kind of mindset, there's a huge percentage of the Arab world who are in favor of what is happening right now. And would like to participate and will participate as soon as they see an opportunity to do so. And those opportunities will be forthcoming. But here we are on Thanksgiving, and I've opened this up. But what I wanted to say is that when you think of all those things, it should be pretty easy for us, very easy for us, to count our blessings and to enumerate the things that we are thankful for this morning. Let me just begin with this thought with you. Let me ask you to think about your own pathway your pathway. And I'm going to maybe list maybe about six different areas, and then I'll invite you to share your thoughts, if you care to, on any given one of these. Let me talk about your pathway in life, and talk about your parents and how you arrived in this world, and what level of thanksgiving you have for that, your parents, those who brought you into the world and nurtured you and cared for you. And you can just interrupt me, anyone that wants to, at any time, and offer a word of thanksgiving that you have. But let me say that your parents are responsible and have been responsible for a lot of who you are. We all know that to be true. Yet there's something about you, there's an essence of you that your parents did not provide. Your parents did not provide that essence. Now, I overheard what Beth was sharing with you about one of the little ones in the Sunday school class and about tearing up when certain subject was mentioned. Let me suggest to you a reason why that is. Because the part of us that is the essential us, the essential you, is provided by God and not by your parents. And that essential part of you is your spirit. God gives your spirit. The essence of you, the spirit, is given by God, not by your parents. The way you think, the way you act, your personality, all those traits, a lot of that is your parents. Your proclivities and your tendencies you can find in your family tree. You can find a lot of those things going back on different sides. All that is true, but there's still that essence, that spirit of you that's given by God. And it is the spirit that's given by God that is touched and is receives these kind of truths that the mind cannot fully comprehend. Things the subject Beth was talking about. But that elicits a kind of emotion and feeling from deep within, and sometimes it manifests in tears. And if you ask why the tears, no idea why the tears. We thank God. We thank God. This is the reason why suicide, not my topic this morning. I'm trying to get to Thanksgiving. But this is the reason why suicide is such a, such a high level of transgression against God, is because none of us has the right to bring to an end in this world that which God has provided. We just don't have it. And I don't really care who tells you you do, but you don't. No one has it. If all we were was a result of our parents, then perhaps, okay, fine. But that's not all we are. So, anybody this morning, any one of you would like to, as you think about your parents and who brought you to the world and cared for you, I'd like to offer a word of thanksgiving. Now's your chance. But we have a lot of thanksgiving we have for our parents. We're so thankful for actually the location in which we have been raised and brought into the world. We have so much to be thankful for. What better place to be brought up than in this area, right? What better place? It's such a blessing. Anybody else have anything before I move to a different area of Thanksgiving? So let me ask you a little bit about, raise this thought in terms of Thanksgiving, or the various influences in your life. And what level of Thanksgiving do you have for the kind of influences that you had in your life, especially at critical moments and times where you could have your path, you know, we're talking about your journey, your life's pathway, and your path could have gone this way or it could have gone this way, and there were certain influences that were there. I mean, it could have come from relatives, it could have come from teachers, it could have come from any particular area, and you're thinking in terms of Thanksgiving, being thankful for those influences. Anybody have anything like that? Anyone else have any thoughts in terms of certain influences at critical moments of your life that you are so thankful for? I'm thankful for a man named John Linden. And I've never met John Linton, but John Linton was a Salvation Army evangelist. And he came to Sault Ste. Marie years ago and had evangelistic meetings in the Salvation Army. And my mother went. And she really enjoyed his preaching, and he had some books, fairly small, short books. But she bought all the books he had. I mean, every book he had written, she bought one. And it came a critical moment in my own journey where I was beginning to think and wanting to search for answers. And Mom had these books. And she said, maybe you'd like to read some of these, John Linton's books. So, I mean, for me, there were so many things. All of us, I mean, we can think of so many things, really. But that was one real strong influence. I could recite a lot of these books for you right now, but I won't. But it was a very strong influence. Just something that you needed that was helpful and beneficial at a certain critical moment in time where your life was at a place where it could have gone one way or it could have gone another way. And the Lord is overseeing our lives, right? He oversees our lives, and He provides these influences. So when we're thankful, we might be thankful for the influence, but really our thanks go to Him because He provides those influences for us. Yeah. Anybody else? Well, another one that's kind of close is this idea of lessons learned, where in life, there are certain times where there are certain lessons that are learned. And, it can be, lessons can be learned through positive things. Lessons can be learned sometimes through mistakes and negative things. And it can be difficult circumstances, actually, that provide the lesson. But the lesson is very helpful. And after we have passed that point in our lives, on our journey, and we look back to it, we look back with great thanksgiving because of the lesson or lessons learned. Anyone have that, one of those examples? A lesson learned for which you are very thankful. You could put that close to what Brent was sharing a moment ago, but you can apply other things as well. Anyone have to learn the same lesson twice? All right, here's another one. Thanksgiving for... How many have you ever thought in terms of protection over your life, of physical protection, all kinds of different applications of protection? And as you look back, you're so thankful about the protection, because if it hadn't been for the protection that you were favored with, you wouldn't be here today. Anyone have any areas of thanksgiving that come to your mind that you'd care to share? These are like testimonies. This is like a testimony meeting. This is all to give thanks to the Lord, because behind all of these things lies His goodness. Boy, do I have a list. But I don't want to give my list. I want you to give yours. There's so many things that we have. And it's good to give thanks unto the Lord. Let me just read a passage of Scripture from Psalm 26. This is a psalm of David. And he writes, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me." Listen to this. "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." Can you imagine actually asking the Lord to examine him? He said, I walked in my integrity. And then he writes, "Examine me, O Lord, who sees all. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me or test me, and try my mind and my heart. Examine me and test me. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked." This is all about his associations. His associations are righteous associations. And he said this. He writes, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord. In other words, this is not so much sacrificing animals at an altar as it is offering ourselves before the Lord, in presenting ourselves to the Lord and saying to the Lord that we have walked in the light that you have given us. We've walked in all the light that you have given us. Lord, examine us and test us, because that's the way the test will result. And then he said, I've washed my hands in innocence, and so will I go about your altar, O Lord. Then he said this, so that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. In other words, my relationship with you, O Lord, must be this kind of relationship, so that I might proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving, so that I might give thanks appropriately, rightly, from my heart. And I can't do that if I'm not walking righteously before you. If I'm not walking righteously before you, I cannot offer thanksgiving to you as I ought to. But examine me, Lord, because as you examine me, you'll see that I have walked in righteousness before you. I'm not afraid, Lord, of your testing, because your testing will show this to be true. And all this so that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. It's wonderful. From David, the psalmist David. I think of all these things going on right now that we talked about at the beginning, in the very land where all the history of the Bible was written and recorded. And these areas of Israel where all the barbarism is occurring yesterday and perhaps continuing in some level now. All this is the land of the Philistines and the war and the conflict with Israel. The great defeat of Goliath by David. All of this is happening in that same geographical location. All of it. The way that Israel was oppressed for many, many hundreds of years, where Samson came as one of the final judges and was anointed of the Holy Spirit to deliver Israel from the barbarism of the Philistines. Well, all this is happening, all this happened thousands of years ago in the same place that these things are happening now. Well, protection and restoration I have, and thanksgiving, and then I wanted to maybe share this one thing, is to think in terms of the future, the glorious future that awaits those who are in Christ Jesus, who are walking in right relationship with Him. We're going through right now in this world a time of tremendous turbulence and difficulty. All of us experience this times of turbulence in some degree or another. But there is a future that we're moving towards. And this pathway that we are on from the time we arrived and were born in this world and raised by our parents and influenced by all the different influences that came across our path, we're moving towards a future. And the future for the believer, the one in right relationship with the Lord, is a glorious future. It's a glorious future for the earth. The earth will be renewed. We will be actually made anew ourselves. There is a tremendous future, glorious in every respect. Righteousness will pervade and prevail in the earth. The law of the Lord will go from sea to sea. I mean, it will just be in the future. There will be righteousness. There will not be animosity. There will be no barbarism. There will be no transgressions against God. This is the ultimate future. All of it is yet ahead of us. So we're moving in that direction, and I think it's appropriate for us to give thanks for it, even though we haven't yet arrived there, but we know that's where we're going, and we can be thankful for our destination. So we can be thankful where we come from. We can be thankful for where we are right now. But I think above all that, the level of thanksgiving that is due for the future that is awaits us, that is just absolutely marvelous and wonderful. Let me share something with you before I invite Ruth to come and play. I'm not going to spend a long time. Just want to offer our thanksgiving to the Lord and thank you for sharing. what I'm going to put up for a podcast for today is a message that we shared here 5 years ago today. 5 years ago, October the 7th, which was yesterday, was the day we shared this message. I've never put this message up on the podcast. I don't know exactly why, but the subject of the topic of the message is a very, I think it's a timely one, but it's a deep one. And it might have been one of the reasons for not putting it up consistently was because of the depth of it, maybe a feeling that the timing wasn't right for it. But here's the topic: why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. Why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. The unforgivable sin. The sin that will not be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. I hear this, see this coming up on different threads, communication threads. I see it, and I honestly believe that people have a misunderstanding of it and the teaching of Jesus on it. In Matthew, we find it in Matthew's Gospel. And so that particular Sunday, I addressed that topic, and I'm going to put that up today. And I invite you to come to it. I want to ask you to come to it very thoughtfully, or don't come to it unless you, is we have to prepare ourselves to come to them. There are certain times, I think, where it's inappropriate for us just, oh, well, I've got a few minutes now, I'm going to listen to this, or don't, no, we can't do that. We have to prepare ourselves to listen to certain things. But this message, why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable, that's a heavy message. And it's very profound, but it's a kind of a scriptural journey, beginning with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and giving various passages of the way in which the Holy Spirit ministers and how he works. And why that Jesus would say that sin against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. Why he would say, you can say whatever you want about me and it will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it cannot be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. But that particular message, I just happened upon it yesterday. I don't know why these things happen the way they do, other than I could say the sovereignty of God is responsible for it. But I knew right away when I happened upon it, it just hit the chord with me. This is what goes up tomorrow. So that's what will go up today. Let me close with this thought. Have you ever wondered why the purposes of God are not always accomplished in the earth? Have there ever been times in your own life where you knew that you were not actually walking in harmony with the will of God? As you quietly think about that, was there ever a time, a period in your life where you knew you were not walking in right relationship with the Lord? In other words, you were not obedient to him. He was not pleased with you. You were not walking in righteous place with him. There are many examples of how in the world right now, for example, these things we talked about this morning happening over in Israel. Obviously, these things are horrid. They are horrendous. Is it the will of the Lord that that would happen? No, it's not. Things are happening all the time, both big and small, in all parts of the world, that are not in harmony with the will of God. But the will of God in the earth, here's the part that I wanted to mention. There is one who is the executor of the things of God. In other words, when God says, Jesus, when he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, you know, Father, that your will would be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And he said you should pray that way. To our Father, that your will would be done on the earth in the same way your will is done being done in heaven. Well, his will is being done perfectly in heaven, right? But his will is not being done perfectly in the earth. Well, but Jesus said you should pray that it would be. And there will come a time when it will be. Well, what will cause that to happen? There is an executor of the things of God, the will of God. And he is an executor in the will of God for you, and he's an executor of the will of God for all the affairs in the human race. And the person is the Holy Spirit. Now, this kind of came to me yesterday when I was contemplating this message from 5 years ago. The Holy Spirit is the executor of the will of God. I'll just give you a little insight. This is why to transgress or blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable, because He is the one who executes the things of God. He executes. You know, the executor, the President of the United States is the chief executive officer in the government of America, right? He's the chief executive officer. If you want something done, then you have to have somebody to execute the plan. The person who executes the plan, executes the project, is the person who accomplishes it. The Holy Spirit accomplishes the will of God. So here I'll close with this thought. What is anointed music? How does music become anointed? Well, then it's the Holy Spirit. He is the executor of the things of God. He touches the individual and gives a certain gifting to the individual to play and present that music, but it is His touch on that whole process that causes it to be anointed. Anointed means that something's poured out on it. The something is the Spirit is poured out on it. And it becomes anointed. It's not even the person themselves so much as it is He's executing the will of God. He is bringing about in the earth the will of God in the earth, and He is pouring out His Spirit upon a certain ministry to bring that about. The Holy Spirit is the executor of the things of God, and nothing happens in the earth that's the righteous will of God unless the Holy Spirit executes it. Oh, my goodness sakes, what a subject this is. The issues in the Middle East right now that are happening right now, what is the real solution? Is the Holy Spirit to execute the will of God in the lives of the people. What's God's will? Holy Spirit executes God's will. So that's what came to me, and I'll just share that with Thanksgiving as I close this morning on our sharing on Thanksgiving.